Howdy. You're listening to the Texas A&M RUF podcast. Hope you enjoyed the talk.
Good to see y'all tonight. Glad that you're here. And we are delighted to have you if you're new this evening. I'm Pastor Wade. And we want you to know here at RUF, we're glad to have you and that we are never so good that we stand outside the need of God's grace, while at the same time, we're never so bad that we stand outside the reach of God's grace. And so we welcome you. This is a community of grace. I want to let you know that I will be on campus many Wednesdays in the MSC. So if you would like to sit down and talk, I'd be happy to sit down and talk. So next Wednesday, I'll be in the MSC after 2 p.m. Of course, Emma's always around. She would be happy to meet with you as well. But tonight I want to introduce to you Derek McCullum. He is a former RUF campus minister at a university that's near here, and he is the look. These guys already know Derek, but he is a church planter of Hope New Braunfels, so Hope Presbyterian Church in New Braunfels, and we are excited to have him and Joy this evening. His son Hampton, some of y'all know because he was here, and so some of y'all friends with Hampton who was here in Virginia is here. And so welcome, Derek. Come up, preach God's word to us. Delighted to have Derek. He is going to bring us God's word tonight. Thank you, brother.
Wade. Howdy.
Howdy.
See, you don't have to hiss at me anymore. It's really great to be here with you. Some of your faces are familiar from a fall conference a few years ago. Some of you, like Wade said, know my son Hampton. Don't hold it against him. But I am so thankful to be with you. We are going to look at God's word, and we are going to talk about anxiety tonight. And we're going to talk about it because Jesus talks about it. So if you've got a Bible, you can open it up to Luke chapter 12, or you can just listen, or I think probably follow along right there as I read to you from God's word from Luke chapter 12. This is what Jesus says. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This, friends, is God's word. He's given it to us because he loves us and he wants us to know him. Let me pray for us before we dig in. Father, so good to simply hear those words of Jesus telling us that you love and care for us more than anything else in the world, that we truly can cast all of our anxieties and fears, hopes and dreams and desires on you because you care for us. It is a pleasure to be able to come and bask in your love and learn from your word and be shaped and formed by you. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be at work in us to open our eyes where we're blind, to open our ears where we need to hear, to soften our hearts where they are hard, so that we might see Jesus tonight and see him more clearly, and in seeing him more clearly, love him more deeply, desire to follow him more fervently, and know his love for us in a deeper way. We pray all of this in his name. Amen. Well, we're really kind of dealing with this question tonight, is how do you not let anxiety rule your life? How do you not let anxiety take hold in your mind and your heart and everything that you do? And that's a big question, because anxiety is a big deal. Scientists will tell us that among particularly your age group, anxiety is the number one mental health issue. Right? It's the number one mental health issue for men and women your age. In fact, lots of amazing data. The National Institutes of Health said 38% of girls 17 to 26 and 26% of boys have a diagnosable anxiety disorder. In 1985, the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA began studying incoming freshmen. And they would take these freshmen toward the end of the year, and they would simply ask them one question, like, do you feel overwhelmed with how much you have to do? And in 1985, 18% said yes. They continued to do that study, though, and continue it today. In 2010, that had grown from 18% to 29%. In 2017, that had spiked to 41%. If you continue on that same trajectory, that number today would be 53%. More than half of this room in that kind of study would say, yeah, I feel totally overwhelmed with everything in my life right now. I have anxiety that is always present. And there's a lot to be anxious about. I mean, this is kind of like the time, right, at the beginning of the semester when, you know, it's first round of tests kind of time. Or it's, am I actually going to be able to get along for an entire year with my roommate time? Or how am I going to fit in my pledge class? Or am I going to be able to find a job when I graduate if you're a senior? There are a lot of things to be anxious about. But I think Jesus wants to call us to something different tonight. I think Jesus wants us to know that there is a way that anxiety cannot have a total hold on us. And let me just give you the spoiler and give you the main point right now, is that I think Jesus is saying this, is that we will loosen our grip on anxiety, or it will loosen its grip on us, the more that we tighten our grip on the Lord. It's really, I think, what Jesus is saying tonight, is that the more that we tighten our grip on the Lord and his love and his care and his grace, the looser the grip of anxiety becomes on our own hearts. So we're just simply going to look at some of the things that Jesus says here. There are four things that I want to bring out from what he says in this passage, and then five pieces of application. So yeah, math majors, a nine-point sermon tonight. Pretty exciting. Here's the first thing. First of these four things that Jesus, I think, says here. And this one is kind of the low-hanging fruit that we normally forget, and because we want to theologize everything and we forget the practical stuff. But Jesus says right here in verses 25 and 26, listen to this again. And where does he say it? If I could read it. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you're not able to do such a small thing as this, why are you anxious about the rest? Jesus says, listen, being anxious isn't going to do you any good anyway. It's not actually going to help. I don't know if you guys have seen this great Tom Hanks movie called Bridge of Spies. And it's a movie about Tom Hanks plays a lawyer, and he's representing actually a Russian spy. The Russian spy is played by the great Mark Rylance, who does an amazing job in this movie. But he has this repeated phrase where things are going bad. He is on trial. He could actually get sentenced to death, and he's just cool as a cucumber. Nothing's a problem at all. And finally, Tom Hanks' character breaks down. He says, don't you ever get worried? And Mark Rylance's character says, would it help? Of course, the answer is no. It wouldn't help at all. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. When we get anxious, when we get worried, when we get all wrapped around the axle about something coming up, guess what? It doesn't really help, does it? Jesus moves on then from the practical to the more theological, saying this, is that not only is it not going to do any good, but the Lord actually knows what you need. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Listen again to verses 29 and 30. And do not seek what you are to eat or to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. We have a heavenly Father who is acquainted with all of our ways, who has numbered the grains of sand on the beach, who knows how many hairs are on your head, who, again, the same psalm says, knit us together in our mother's wombs. He knows us intimately. He is acquainted with all of our ways. Nothing is unknown for him, from him. Your Father knows you, and he knows what you need. When we are anxious, when we let anxiety start to control our hearts, we're actually denying that God actually loves us and knows what we need. Third thing, building on that, not only worry won't do you any good anyway, the Lord knows what you need, but here's this. Third, God cares for you more than he cares for anything else. God cares for his children more than he cares for anything else. Let me read it again. Verse 24 says this, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. He goes on to use another analogy in verse 27, that of flowers. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Scholars actually think probably the flowers that Jesus is talking about are purple anemones. Purple is the color of royalty. It's the color of the robes that a king would have worn. And Jesus, in this analogy, takes the most famous, the richest king in all of Israel's history, and he says, not even Solomon. Not even Solomon in all his wealth and all his glory, clothed in the most beautiful purple linen robes, can even match up to these beautiful lilies. And God takes care of them. How much more so is he going to take care of you? The Apostle Peter picks this up as well in 1 Peter, and he says this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. You can cast your anxieties on the Lord because the Lord cares for you. And it's that wonderful combination, especially of these last two, that I think makes it so beautiful. The Lord knows and the Lord cares. Now, I have never had the opportunity to stay at a Ritz-Carlton, but I've read about the Ritz-Carlton, and they're famous for what they call elevated hospitality. Maybe some of you have stayed and you've seen this. So the way that places like the Ritz, and especially the Ritz-Carlton, the way that they handle people is that they want to always be one step ahead of whatever their customer is. So for instance, if you pull in to the valet parking and you've got a Texas license plate, the valet person will announce, the lady and the gentleman from Texas are here. You're like, wow, we're special. I don't even know where we're from. And they'll tell them, you know, whenever you check in, the person at the front desk will radio to the guy who's working the elevator and give them your name so that the guy who's working the elevator who's never met you can open it up and say, Mr. and Mrs. McCollum, please come in. We're going right up to the 7th floor. And your mind is blown, right? How do they know? How do they know so much? If you one time stay at a Ritz and you say, you know what, I actually kind of like firmer pillows, they'll not only give you the firmer pillows, but they'll put those notes in their computer so that the next time you check in, you don't ask. You just get to your room and you've got the exact pillows you want, and everything is already there before you've had to ask, because they know and they care. And that combination leads to some pretty cool things, doesn't it? And that is what Jesus is saying here, is that the Lord knows what you need. And if it was just that, if it was just that he knew, but he was stingy, then it wouldn't be really a God worth worshiping. But this is a God who knows and fulfills our needs. He knows what he needs, and he loves actually to care for us. Fourth, final thing that we're going to highlight here is that caring for you actually pleases the Lord. Isn't that cool? Caring for you pleases God. It makes him happy to care for you. Look again at the end here, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now listen, I don't know 100% what Jesus is saying there. When he's saying the Father wants to give you the kingdom, I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but whatever it is, it's better than whatever the thing is that you're worried about right now. God loves to give his children good things. It gives him pleasure to care for you. Again, let's come back to that main point. The more that we tighten our grip on the Lord, his love, his care, his knowledge of us, then the looser the grip of anxiety is on our hearts. I have a yard, front and a backyard, and I'll tell you, it is one of the things that actually does create anxiety in me, is looking out at my yard. I live in New Braunfels, Texas, where it rains like once. And so, like, my grass is almost always dry. And it's a struggle for it to grow. And it grows really great in some places where it's the perfect amount of water and shade. And it grows really poorly in other places. And in those places where my grass is growing poorly, weeds spring up. You've probably seen this, right? And so I started to think at first, like, oh, I should go pull all those weeds. That's the way to get rid of the weeds. I'll go spend time pulling the weeds, or I'll find some, you know, kind of crazy spray that I could spray on these things that's going to kill the weeds, and that's how I'm going to get rid of them. But if you've ever, like, taken notice of a yard like this, you know that the weeds don't grow very well where the grass is really growing. When the grass is really flourishing, the weeds kind of get choked out. So the best way actually to eliminate the weeds is to grow the grass. The best way to see the weeds go away from my yard is to see the grass flourish. I think that's the thing that Jesus is talking about here. The way that we're going to eliminate the bad stuff, the way that we're going to see the hold of anxiety on our hearts start to loosen, is for us actually to increase, to fertilize, to water, to cultivate our relationship with the Lord, so that our grip on him tightens and enables our grip on anxiety to loosen. Now, before we kind of turn to a few what to do's, a few suggestions, I do want to pause for a second and just give a couple of caveats. First of all, anxiety disorder is a real thing. And if that is something you deal with, please hear this. Jesus is not condemning you for that. And it is really helpful for you to get good professional help in that way. Secondly, I don't think anxiety is something that needs to be pushed aside, and I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, listen, if you take medication for this, if you see a counselor for this, throw away your medicine and cancel your therapist appointments. Please don't do that. That is not what Jesus is saying tonight. That is not what I'm saying tonight. There can be real help in professionals who enable you either to talk or give you some prescriptions that can help you deal with this anxiety. And then finally this, I don't think that Jesus is saying that anxiety is a sin. But I do think that he is saying that it is a symptom. Right? What is chemical and what is spiritual and what is mental, they're not exactly the same, but there are overlaps. And so I think oftentimes what's happening in our hearts, that's happening in our hearts because of the brokenness of sin in our lives, oftentimes gets played out in some inappropriate action and functioning of our heads and our bodies. So anxiety is not a sin. I don't think Jesus is saying that. But I do think Jesus is saying, hey, we can start to deal with anxiety by moving closer to the Lord. If you want to know more about that, I'm happy to answer any of these questions. And I didn't ask him about this, but I'm going to volunteer Wade for this as well. He is well equipped to talk with you. If you deal specifically with that, and especially if you deal with it in a more clinical sense, I know Wade would love to talk to you. All right, let's move on to a few suggestions. How do we do that? How do we loosen the grip on anxiety and tighten our grip on the Lord? Well, here's just five quick things, some suggestions from me. The first is this. It's good to name your anxieties and your fears and to bring them before the Lord and before each other. You know, God has given us not only the beautiful gift of prayer to be able to commune with Him, but also the beautiful gift of community. He has given you each other as a part of what it means for you to walk with Him. Paul Tripp says it this way, is that your walk with God is a community project, and I think that's right. So that's one great step, is simply to start to name those things that you're anxious about, talk to the Lord about them, and talk to each other and to people like Wade and Emma. Talk about it. That's the first step. Second thing is this, is to make it a regular practice to remember how God has cared for you. Maybe that's at the end of a week, where you can sit back and reflect and say, this is how God has cared for me this week. Maybe you can do it daily and make it an end-of-the-day practice for you. To simply take, it doesn't have to be more than 2, 3, 5 minutes. If you want to write it down, that's great. Or you can simply just sit and think about it. How are the ways that God has provided for me, cared for me, loved me today? The more that we start to do those things, the looser the grip of anxiety becomes on our hearts. Third is this, and it's actually related. Jesus says to set your mind on His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom. Paul says later in his epistles, you know, that we are to seek things above, not things below. And the more that we actually start to set our minds on what is above, the looser the grip of anxiety becomes on our hearts. I don't know if anybody says this anymore. When I was growing up, you know, there was this phrase that got thrown around. It would talk about Christians. He would say, you know, that person is so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. Well, you know what? That's really not true. What the Bible says is actually the more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we are. The more that we actually cling to Jesus, the more that the regular stuff of life begins to make more sense and we can deal with it more appropriately. So seek the Lord. Seek each other. Seek to serve. It is much harder to be consumed with yourself when you're trying to serve someone else, isn't it? When you are actually setting your mind on someone else's needs, you kind of push out the space for worrying about all of your own needs, and anxiety starts to go down. Fourth thing is do stuff. And I just mean, like, go ahead and do the stuff that's out in front of you. Don't be afraid to engage life. Go about your regular life. Work. Go to school. Have friendships. Maintain those relationships. Go have fun. Do the things that God has put in front of you, and that actually will start to decrease your anxiety. And then five, this, Jesus says it really explicitly in this passage, give. Maybe that's giving of your money, giving of your time, giving of your gifts, giving of whatever resources the Lord has given to you. When we start to actually pour out ourselves, again, that grip of anxiety begins to loosen in us. Let me close with this, is the motivation here, the real reason even that we can talk about this, is that there truly is one thing that's worth being anxious about. And it is your eternal standing. It is what makes you right and okay in the world. That is worth being anxious about. And friends, if you are a Christian, that question has been answered finally and fully by Jesus. If you don't feel like you know that kind of solid understanding of who you are, your identity before the Lord, where you stand with your Creator, what's going to happen after you die, let me invite you to continue to explore. Ask somebody next to you. Find one of these folks that was up here and talk to them about it. Because that is truly something worth worrying about. But Jesus says this amazing thing, right? He says this. He says that His grip on you is everlasting. If your faith is in Christ, then he is held on so tightly to you, he will never let go. That grip can never be broken. And it is that tight grip on you eternally that enables you as a Christian to begin to loosen your grip. Maybe it's just a little bit day by day. Loosen your grip on the things that are taking hold of your heart, the things that make you anxious, the things that make you turn to worry. Friends, there is nothing eternally to worry about. We sang those words earlier, didn't we? Land me safe on Canaan's shore. Bid my anxious fears goodbye. Let's pray about that now. Good Father, who takes care of his children, who loves us and cares for us more than he loves and cares for anything else in this world, who clothes the lilies of the field and cares for the birds. Lord, we are so much more to you than birds and flowers. Yet I confess that oftentimes my heart tends toward anxiety. It's something that we all deal with. It's something we all will deal with to some extent. But Lord, we proclaim that you have held us tightly, that you will not let go, that you have landed us safe on Canaan's shores, that you have brought us through the waters of judgment and given us eternal rest in your home, Jesus. So, Lord, will you enable us to cling tightly to you and loosen our grip on the things that worry us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the Texas A&M RUF podcast. If you're interested in joining us for a large group, we would love to see you at All Faiths Chapel on the north side of campus across from Sabisa at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. Go ahead and follow at AggieRUF on Instagram for updates about any other events we're putting on. We hope to see you around. Thanks and gig 'em.